Amen. Wow. Well, welcome to our monthly First Fruits celebration. It's always a special time because Hebraically every month is a new prophetic season. You want to come and you want to give a first fruit offering. You want to honor God, but you want to hear what God is saying about the season that we're coming into. And so that's what we do every month at our monthly First Fruits celebration. And so our message this morning is Kislev, the month of Benjamin, discovering your true identity. So welcome to our First Fruits celebration for the Hebrew month of Kislev. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, Merry Kislev. You know, one of the keys to walking in God's blessing is to walk with an understanding of God's calendar. See, God created time. Time is God's idea. The best definition of time I've ever heard is this: time is God's way of keeping everything from happening at once. God designed time, and he designed a calendar to help us stay in step with him as we move through time. Now, God established his calendar at creation. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, when God created the heavens, one of the purposes for the sun and the moon and the stars positioned as they are was to serve as signs to mark times and seasons, special days and years. Now, God revealed his calendar to us in the Bible. God's calendar is not like our calendar. God has a different way of looking at time than we do. In the Bible, days begin in the evening, not in the morning. The night watches set the stage for a new day. God's calendar includes set apart or appointed times. There's the yearly cycle of feasts. There's the wonderful gift of Shabbat, where God says, when you have worked 6 days, take a day off, rest, and enjoy God's blessing. God is not a slave driver. He wants you to take time to enjoy his goodness. God's calendar has a different understanding of months. Every month was a new prophetic season. Israel began every month with a special first fruits festival they called Rosh Chodesh, which literally means the start or the head of the month. And what they would do, they would honor God at the start of every month. They'd bring an offering, but they'd also come to hear prophetic revelation about the month ahead. And their goal was to be able to live in sync with God's timing. And see, when we do that, when we're in sync with God, we can prosper. And so this morning, that's what we're doing. We're getting ready to move into a new Hebrew month. This is our first fruit celebration for the month of Kislev. Now, Kislev is the ninth month of the Hebrew year. And this morning, we want to see what God is saying about this month. In the natural realm, Kislev is a month of darkness. As you move through Kislev, the days get shorter and shorter and shorter, and the nights get longer. But Kislev is not only a month of darkness, it's a month of the light shining in the darkness. See, Kislev is the month of Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights. We'll have a special Hanukkah celebration later on in the month of Kislev. You know, some Christians don't realize that Hanukkah is really a feast for Christians as well. A lot of people think, oh, that's just Jewish, that's just Old Testament. Let me tell you, Hanukkah is never mentioned in the Old Testament. It's mentioned in the New Testament. And Jesus celebrates Hanukkah. He does a special Hanukkah message. Hanukkah celebrates that our God is a God of miracles. It's also a time to declare that Jesus is the light of the world. So Kislev is a month to let your light shine. Turn to your neighbor and nudge him a little bit and say, start shining. Now the Jews associate the month of Kislev with the Hebrew letter Samech. And a Samech looks like this. As we've said before, Hebrew letters were originally pictures, and they don't just represent a sound, they represent an idea. And you can tell the meaning of Samech by its shape. The letter Samech was originally a picture of a circle or a ring or a repeating cycle. A lot of the words that begin with Samech have that meaning. Words like to turn, to go around, to surround, to encompass or enclose, to come full circle. Now see, if you understand that's what Samech means and this is the month of Samech, you can prophesy from that. You don't even have to be real prophetic to be able to prophesy from that. If Kislev is the month of Samech, that means this is a month to come full circle. It's a month God wants to give you a second chance to confront and deal with things that defeated you in the last season. This is a month to enter a whole new cycle. In a Samech month, God can give you a second chance at missed opportunities. How many have missed some opportunities over the years? You know, Moses messed up when he killed the Egyptian, but his opportunity came back around at the burning bush. Israel missed their opportunity at Kadesh Barnea, but their opportunity came around again when Joshua led them up to the Jordan River. So God is a God of second chances. He'll give you a second chance at missed opportunities, but he says, don't miss your opportunity this time. Missed opportunities can come back around again, but old enemies can come back around again also. So this is a month to be on guard. A Samech month is also a month to break out of old cycles. Many people are trapped in destructive cycles. God wants to set you free this month. Because Kislev is a month of physical darkness, the Jews consider Kislev to be a month of dreams and night visions. And the Torah portions that are read during the month of Kislev, we find most of the dreams mentioned in Torah. We see Jacob's dream of the ladder going up into the heavens. We see Joseph's dreams about his family. Pharaoh's dreams about the famine. The dreams of Pharaoh's servants that Joseph interpreted. And so Kislev is a month to be aware of your dreams. If God speaks to you in dreams this month, pay attention. Figure out, what is God saying to me? Kislev is an important time to better understand your dreams. Here are some more significant things about the month of Kislev. Since Kislev is a month of dreams, that means it's a month for God to bring new revelation for your future. It's a month to enter in to a new level of trust and rest, but also to develop your warfare strategies. The Hebrews consider Kislev to be a month of the womb. It's interesting, and we'll talk about this when we get to Hanukkah. It was probably in Kislev that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary's womb and Jesus was conceived. So this is a month of the womb. It's a month for the river of God to flow from your innermost being. The month of Kislev is also associated with the Hebrew tribe of Benjamin. And that means if we want to understand this month, we need to understand some things about the tribe of Benjamin. Now, Benjamin was the youngest child of Jacob, and his tribe was one of the smallest tribes of Israel. But there's some very important things God wants to teach us from Benjamin. So let's look at some things about Benjamin. Benjamin's father, Jacob, was one of the wealthiest men in the land. He had two wives, but his favorite was Rachel. Now, Rachel's first son was Joseph. Her second was Benjamin, But she died in childbirth with Benjamin. And as Rachel was dying, she named her baby Ben-Oni, which meant the son of my pain. But Jacob renamed him Benjamin, which means the son of my right hand, an honored son. But Jacob wasn't a good dad. He doted on Joseph and Benjamin. He made it clear to his other 10 sons that he loved Joseph and Benjamin more than he loved them. Now, as Rachel's first son, Joseph held the position of the favorite son of the family. And to show his love for Joseph, Jacob gave him a richly ornamented tunic with many colors. That was a sign he was not expected to work in the fields like his brothers. And the result was Joseph's brothers hated and resented him. And then to make matters worse, Joseph had some prophetic dreams. He went to his brothers and said, "Hey guys, I had a prophetic dream last night. It was so exciting. In my dream, all of you came and bowed down before me." The brothers were so excited. And that was really the final straw. One day, the brothers caught Joseph in the field, beat him, stripped him of his tunic, and threw him in a pit, planning to kill him. But before the brothers got around to killing him, some Ishmaelite traders passed by on their way to Egypt, and the brothers decided to sell him as a slave instead of killing him. Now, believing that Joseph was dead, all of Jacob's attention then shifted to Benjamin. Jacob lived in paralyzing fear that something bad could happen to Benjamin also. And so for Benjamin's whole childhood, he was sheltered and protected. And even as a grown man with his own family, when Benjamin's brothers wanted to go to Egypt to buy food, Jacob was willing to let the whole family go hungry rather than subject Benjamin to any danger. Now, meanwhile, Joseph was in Egypt. He interpreted Pharaoh's dream and became a ruler in Egypt. You know, your gift will make a place for you. Joseph had warned Pharaoh that a 7-year famine was coming. And because Pharaoh listened to Joseph, Egypt was prepared for the famine. God used Joseph to save a nation. When Joseph's brothers found out there was food in Egypt, they came down to Egypt to buy food for their families. And the man they had to deal with was Joseph. And so they came and they bowed down before him. Joseph's dream was fulfilled. But he hid his true identity. And he asked them about their family. And then he demanded that they bring Benjamin down to Egypt when they came to buy food again. Now see, uppermost in Joseph's mind was a question. Had his brothers changed? Would they treat Benjamin the same way they treated him? And when Joseph saw that they defended Benjamin instead of betraying him, Joseph revealed his true identity. And he reconciled with his brothers, and the covenant line was saved. Now Benjamin and Jacob and their whole family came down to Egypt as God had prophesied to Abraham. And in Egypt they were preserved through the famine. Benjamin went on to have 10 sons, and his descendants became the tribe of Benjamin. But even the tribe of Benjamin was always sheltered and protected. You know, when the tribes marched through the wilderness, Benjamin marched in the third group of tribes in the most protected position. He marched with the tribe of Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. When they camped around the tabernacle, again, he was grouped with Ephraim and Manasseh. That was a place of safety. They were the descendants of Joseph's. They were Benjamin's primary defenders. When Israel made it into the promised land, Benjamin was given a secure place in the very center of the land, south of Ephraim and Manasseh, north of Judah. But because Benjamin was always protected, Benjamin didn't gain strength. You know, Jerusalem was originally supposed to be in Benjamin's territory, but Benjamin did not have the strength to drive out the Jebusites. Being constantly protected, Benjamin never developed a close relationship with God. During the time of the judges, the tribe developed a reputation for perversion and violence, culminating in the rape and murder of a Levite's concubine by the men of Gibeah in Judges chapter 19. When the other tribes confronted Benjamin with the atrocity, rather than deal with the sin, the people of Benjamin gathered together to defend and protect the wicked men of Gibeah. And the result was a war that almost destroyed the entire tribe of Benjamin. But see, it was never God's plan for Benjamin to be coddled and overprotected. God had placed within Benjamin the strength to fight. God's destiny for Benjamin is given in Genesis 49, where it says, Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he will divide the spoil. And you know, that identity keeps breaking through. During the time of Judges, Benjamin fought alongside Deborah and Barak. Another of the judges, Ehud, was a Benjamite. The men of Benjamin were gifted with the art of the bow. They could sling a stone with either hand and not miss. But the tribe as a whole was too protected to come into their destiny. Now see, some of you have wondered why God has let you face some of the hard battles you faced. Some of you say, why did not God shelter me from those difficult situations? Well, God wants you to know he had a purpose for you to go through some difficulties. He wanted you to gain strength. He wanted you to learn to overcome and be victorious. And you know, Benjamin eventually did overcome. Benjamin eventually came into his destiny. A number of great people came from Benjamin. Esther and Mordecai, who saved the entire Jewish people, were from Benjamin. The Apostle Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin. You know, most of the New Testament books were written by someone from the tribe of Benjamin. Through Paul, Israel fulfilled its destiny of being a light to the Gentile nations. So how did Benjamin learn to overcome? And I believe the turning point for Benjamin came with Jonathan's covenant with David. See, David was from Judah. Jonathan was from Benjamin. Jonathan's father, Saul, was Israel's first king, and he was very much a Benjamite. He was ruled by fear. He always wanted to be protected. When the time came for him to be anointed king, he was terrified. He ran and hid in the baggage. In 2 Kings 13, Saul's fear caused him to disobey God and forfeited his kingship. Then Saul's fear of losing his throne motivated him to try to kill David, who was God's chosen replacement. But when David showed up and led Israel to victory over at Goliath, Saul's son Jonathan saw David's courage, and something inside him snapped. Jonathan thought to himself, that's what we are supposed to be. And so Jonathan cut covenant with David. He rejected his fears. He said, instead of trying to want to be defended, he said, I will choose to lay down my life to defend David. And then a few chapters later, it says, David and Jonathan said, let's extend this covenant to the house of Jonathan and the house of David. The house of Jonathan was the tribe of Benjamin. The house of David was the tribe of Judah. And so standing in the gap for Benjamin and Judah, David and Jonathan linked the two tribes together in covenant. And through that covenant, Benjamin was able to shift and fulfill his destiny. The covenant between David and Jonathan was honored by the tribes of Judah and Benjamin throughout their history. While David was still at Ziklag, men came from Benjamin. They defected from Saul to David. They were mighty men of war. They could shoot arrows or sling stones with both the right or left hands. And then after Saul's death, most of Benjamin supported David. And when the northern tribes rebelled and formed the northern kingdom of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin was the only tribe that chose to stand with Judah. Benjamin took part in the great revivals under Asa and Josiah that contributed to the repair of the temple under Josiah. In the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, Benjamin assisted in rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And as they continued to walk out their covenant commitment, God brought full restoration to the tribe of Benjamin. And see, God wants you to know this month that one of the most important keys to overcoming your past and fulfilling your destiny is covenant. You need to know who you are committed to. You need to know who is committed to you. And if you are in covenant with the right people and you walk out your covenant with faithfulness, your life will change. Let's notice some other things about Benjamin. He was the only one of Jacob's children born in the promised land. So I think this is an important month to keep your eyes on Israel. I'm glad we prayed for Israel this morning. It's an important month to stand in prayer for Israel. Here's something else about Benjamin. He was trained to hit the mark. 1 Chronicles 12, they could shoot arrows or sling stones right-handed or left-handed. In Judges 20, they had 700 left-handed Benjamites able to sling a stone at a hair and not miss. Benjamites were gifted warriors. And so Kislev is an important month to be armed with your spiritual weapons and take your stand against the enemy. It's an important month to stay focused on God's call for your life, because God doesn't want you to miss the mark this month. Now, one of the most important things about Benjamin was that Benjamin experienced a change of identity. You know, Benjamin's mother died giving him birth, and as she was dying and in pain, she named him Ben-Oni, the son of my sorrow. But Jacob knew that was not the identity God wanted his son to have. So he changed his name to Benjamin, son of my right hand, honored son. And see, that's significant because a name change means a new identity. And that's really the history of the tribe of Benjamin. They had been governed by fear, needing protection, but that was not the identity God had for them. And through covenant with David, they entered in to their new identity. And so this month, ask yourself, who am I in covenant with? Now, it's interesting. Another famous Benjamite was also renamed. Saul of Tarsus was named after the ungodly King Saul. Like King Saul did with David, Saul of Tarsus tried to hunt down and kill God's people. But Saul was not the identity that God wanted for him. And so God changed his name to Paul, a Gentile name, to equip him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. You know, sometimes the circumstances of life have branded you with an identity that is not what God chose for you. For some of you, the way you view yourself is not how God views you. And so this is a month to come into your new identity. And if you are like Benjamin, if you have been held captive by your fears, God wants to set you free this month. So ask God to show you any habit patterns, any ways of thinking that are holding you in that old identity. Make sure nothing is clouding your conscience. Confess any sins you need to confess. Cleanse your conscience and then receive revelation. You know, in this Hebrew year of pay, it's important to guard the words of your mouth. And that's a key to coming into your new identity. This is a time of confession and decree. And what you say now with your mouth will determine your future. I think a good confession for the month of Benjamin is 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Let's all say that together. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And anytime you feel that attack of the enemy coming, anytime you feel that cloak of fear trying to come upon you, you say, "No, Satan, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." And you know, as you do that, you're resisting the devil, and the word says he will flee from you. When you make that confession, you just sense that fear moving away. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So welcome the Hebrew month of Kislev. Ask God to bring you into your true identity this month.
Wow. Now, don't get up yet. This is a month of coming full circle. And to do that, you have to open up a portal from heaven. I want to pray for us right now. Then I want to ask Daniel Arenas to come up here with me, because a lot of you, you're hung up in where you are and what you do. That's why we have the garden. You have to understand the garden first. And one of the things we've done in the garden is develop our relationships with the master gardeners of the region, as well as the master naturalist of the region. So I'm going to show you this video of what's called the Agra forest that we have developed out here. You know what it's about? The circle of life. And I want you to watch it, and I want you to say, "Lord, what am I missing out to bring forth great fruit in my life?" Now look at this. Is that amazing? Let's thank God for this. Now, Pam sent me this week. Let me show you this first. Before we start the video, the garden by design is concerned with both the interior and the land beyond the garden. Now let's look at this video as Daniel leads us.
Well, welcome to Beale Acres Agroforest. This is about a little over 2 acres. The video you're watching is a transition from spring to today. It has been around 9 months of development that could only happen after 9 years of planting the Israel Prayer Garden. It is a place where we work with creation to honor creation and not against it. So it's amazing to see that as we learn from the land and design with God, things just grow. Like this basket right here, none of these things we planned or planted. And there are even off-season crops that grow wherever they want to grow. It's a great place where, like Chuck was mentioning, we have all the volunteer movement, people that come that wants to learn and be educated and help out developing this piece of property. So we are 100% focused on healing and restoring the land just the way God designed it to be. We want to learn that. And we want to make sure that we're able to educate and reach out to the community. And there is nothing that we're doing right now that is not thinking about the future generations, so they have a place. So I encourage y'all to come back to the garden and feel the land and let God tell you how He designed things to prosper.
Now let's all stand up. Let's thank God for those that understand His fullness. Daniel is a wonderful teacher. He teaches, he speaks, his background from Brazil is in what he does here. It's just an honor having he and Michelle with us, and she's one of the best artisans of chocolate that I have ever met in my life. Some of us like, they come from the land, chocolate.
It sure does.
And sugar comes from the land. Now, here's what I want you to do. Put your hand right here. In the Word of God, your heart and your mind is equated to the land. This is the best example of what God wants to do with your heart and mind in coming full circle this month. Lord, I thank you for everyone listening. I thank you for what you're developing in them. I say things that need to come full circle and connect for the future will do that. Things that need to be brought out in our identity for the next season will be. And the Lord says, I'm bringing a divine transference this month. I'm calling that Benjamin nature of yours into Judah. I say, as you praise, as you worship, as you extend your hand, that best of you will shift into and cause your land to prosper. Now, another thing is, before you leave, we have wonderful materials. Barbie Breathed has materials on dreams. I've got books, Spiritual Warfare Handbook has both a dream section in it as well as understanding war in it. We also have our first fruit wine for this month, which will help you. We believe in communion and Shabbat here. And this wine will help you enter in as you do that. All of that is in the web. Is on the web. You can call us, but it's all, and you can be a part of what we're doing here. Also, you can go to the branch out here and get what you need. Lord, I bless everyone here. I say the blessings of Kislev will rest upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give a shout. We'll see you back here.